Hey everyone, guess what it's time for?
The Lucas and Lee Podcast! Let's go! We're back. Guess who's back in the house?
How long have we been gone? About a week and a half?
Yeah, we can have.
About a week and a half.
But the people were demanding it.
I was having people ask, where is the Lucas and Lee Podcast?
Well, there was a few people picketing in front of your house.
There were people picketing in front of my house.
They were like, we need to get this show going.
I wanted to go out there and tell them, hey, I am not in charge of Stockton's garbage. Do not picket me. Don't pick at me.
But at least the garbage is all fixed.
The garbage strike in Stockton is over.
It was a quick one.
It was a quick one.
Like 2 weeks, right?
People were going to revolt. Like, my garbage was starting to pile up. Yeah, Everyone's garbage was starting to pile up. I mean, come on. Anyways, we're back. A lot of things happening. I take off for Florida Wednesday morning.
Yeah, the great Gainesville.
Great. Well, I'm staying in Orlando at my timeshare this time.
Okay.
I figured it was time to actually use that thing.
So, what is that from Gainesville? How far? 2 hours?
Hour and a half.
So, how much time are you going to spend in Gainesville versus Orlando?
Oh, well, you know, I got to get my Opus coffee.
Yeah. So, is that a daily trip to Gainesville?
I'm trying to figure that out, but it's going to happen often.
So, is that minimum. Opus coffee ranked number one coffee in America for you?
Yo, yes. It's ranked the, let's be very clear. Opus coffee is ranked the number one coffee on the planet.
So,
for me.
Yeah, for you. Okay. But how does it rank nationally? Does it rank high nationally?
I don't know. It's only in Gainesville. Okay. They have five locations in Gainesville, and that's it. That's the magic of Opus Coffee.
Well, see, now you got to start promoting and get a buzz going.
You know, I always, whenever I'm up there, I always tag them and tell them I'm going to threaten to. Their main coffee shop is in a converted Airstream trailer. It is amazing. It's a magical place. And only very special people I've taken to that thing. Like, you have to be super duper special in the Leeverse for me to actually take you
to that special
to
that location.
Opus Airstream.
Is that the original location, the Airstream?
The original location is in the same tower at Shands Medical Center that I got my liver transplant in.
And that was the first time you had Opus Coffee?
That was the first time I had Opus Coffee, and I was like, someone give me this magical elixir.
See, this is what you need to make this place famous. Not like famous to like...
I try. Yeah. Every time I'm back there, I take my selfies drinking in front of the Opus Airstream.
Yes. Well, you gotta
tag them.
You know what?
Everyone knows. Everyone who follows me on the gram or Facebook understands that when I first moved back here permanently, I actually made a trip back just to have Opus Coffee.
You know what you need to do? You need to send a little message to Gabe Kapler, because he's a big coffee drinker.
Mm-hmm.
He works for the Marlins. Invite him up to Gainesville for a trip to hang out with you as a former season ticket holder of the San Francisco
as
Giants.
As a former Giants season ticket holder. Well, current. Former Giants manager. Current season ticket holder.
Come on up to Gainesville and you'll get him a cup of coffee and you'd sit down and chat with him, and then he'll post it with his big muscle showing.
Well, you know who's going to insist on coming if he posts with his big muscle showing?
Fit Lurie!
Fit Lurie!
She's a Gabe Kapler Glazer.
What is a Gabe Kapler Glazer?
Somebody that just brags and brags and brags about him. She is a Glazer. A Gabe Glazer.
Oh my gosh. So I'm going back there for 3 weeks this time to really see. You know me. My whole goal is to, you know, really establish myself there in Florida. And this is the start of that.
Now, would you rather live, like when you go back permanently, like when you go back, would you rather live in Gainesville or Orlando?
Gainesville. Oh, yeah. First of all, it's the home of the Gators.
Yeah.
Also, it is the safest place in Florida from hurricanes.
Gainesville is.
Gainesville. Wow. Gainesville is the safest place in Florida from hurricanes.
Now, how far is Gainesville from Tampa?
I make it in an hour and a half, hour 45, depending on traffic.
So it's almost the same distance from here to San Francisco, a little bit more.
Yeah, it's about an hour and a half, hour 45, 2 hours to Sarasota, about same distance to Orlando. It all depends on how busy the I-75 is.
Is it a lot of traffic like California there?
And traffic always backs up in Ocala.
And why? What's Ocala?
I have no idea. It just backs up in Ocala.
Is that a cool town or no?
It is the horse capital of the United States.
Oh, okay.
It is. They have the World Equestrian Center there. And they have a lot of show horses there, as I learned when I was... We actually, before we purchased a house, and when I say we, my ex-wife, purchased a house in Gainesville. And when I say house, I mean luxurious single-wide trailer.
Yeah.
We were looking at Ocala. At Ocala, but ended up in Gainesville. And that's where I learned about it being the equestrian center of... the horse center of the United States. Who knew? Who knew? Things you know. But, like I said, a lot of things have been happening. And one thing that everyone knows about is that, you know, you and I, Giants games, Kings games, all that, soccer games. And all those games with video boards have...
a kiss cam!
Have a kiss cam. And by now, everyone in the United States of America understands what a kiss cam is because...
Coldplay does one.
A company nobody ever heard of until this happened. Their CEO and head of HR got busted on Kiss Cam. And not only that, it was their reaction.
Well, so let me
ask
you
this. Reaction.
If they just acted like it was no big deal and continued to hold each other, do you think it would have gone viral?
I think if they would have kissed, it would not have gone viral.
Yeah, so, is the CEO and is that based in Boston?
It's based in Boston.
So they probably would have gotten in trouble with their local friends and family, but it wouldn't have been a national story.
It would not have been a national story.
It would have been like with their family. Somebody like, I saw your husband.
Yeah, basically.
And
of which deserves to get caught, period. Either way.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you cheat, you shouldn't cheat. If you don't want to be with your significant other, leave them.
It's called karma.
Leave them.
It's called karma. It'll come back to bite you in the ass.
I mean, this is a big time karma though, because he got fired.
He got fired.
He lost his wife too. She's divorcing.
I would hope so. Yeah. There was some letter going around that everyone was saying was from her, but it ended up being bogus. So yeah.
Did the letter say she was staying or leaving or breaking up?
She was leaving.
Yeah.
That she was leaving.
I'm pretty sure she is leaving.
Oh, absolutely. Come on. But we bring this up not because, he got caught on Kiss Cam. Everyone knows that. But apparently Chuckles wants to sue Coldplay.
Because he got busted.
Yes.
So what is his, what's a lawsuit based on?
It is invasion of privacy and embarrassment, emotional distress.
The reason why he can't win this is because if that happens, then you wouldn't be able to ever post anything from a crowd at a stadium.
Well, so let's tackle these one at a time. So I'm reading it right here. Andy Byron is the guy's name, is reportedly...
I like Chuckles better.
Chuckles, it is Chuckles. Chuckles! Chuckles, the CEO, is reportedly citing emotional distress and invasion of privacy, as he didn't consent to being filmed or publicly humiliated. He reportedly believes that Coldplay made him a meme. Well, no shit, Sherlock.
Well, he made himself a meme.
Coldplay. He made himself a meme. And I just want to, as the guy with the law degree here, this guy, let's tackle a couple of these. First off, invasion of privacy. You were at a concert.
A public event.
With 40,000 other people.
Yes.
You had no expectation of privacy whatsoever.
No.
Zero. None. Zip, zilch, nada. No way in God's green earth was there going to be any privacy for you, pal.
None.
Uh-uh. Emotional distress? He did this himself.
Yeah, he did. He shouldn't have cheated.
He took his mistress to a public event where he could get caught.
It would be a quick fix. Just don't cheat on your wife.
Don't cheat.
Or if you are going to cheat, do it in a car.
You know,
don't go to a public event where there's 40,000 people looking at you.
Or you just don't cheat.
Yeah, just don't cheat.
The irony of ironies is everyone is well aware. Even though no one is really talking about the female in this equation.
Yeah, not getting mentioned at all.
She was head of HR. We all know what my ex-wife did.
Yeah, she was an HR person.
You know, I was tempted. I didn't do it for the listening public out there. I didn't do it, but I was very tempted. Because, you know, we'll still communicate on, like, you know, like her birthday, my birthday.
Yes, milestones.
Christmas.
Yeah.
Her son's birthday. was tempted to send her a text saying, hey, I have a very important question to ask you. Did you ever go to a Coldplay concert before we were married? But I didn't. But it would have been hella funny.
I definitely would have been
funny. I think it would have gotten a laugh out of her.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's got to say
I hope it would have gotten a laugh out of
her. The thing is, though, it wasn't the first time there's been cheating at Tom
Brady. Hey, Tom Brady, how's it going?
Yeah.
How's it going, pal? Oops. How's it going? Oops. So, you know, but that brings us to the topic of accountability.
He had zero accountability.
Zero accountability.
But most people don't have accountability.
Most people don't have accountability. They don't. But you know who does? You know who does, Lucas?
Who?
This guy.
You got accountability.
I have accountability. If you will remember, God, was it December? We discussed the travails of a young co-ed from the University of Alabama that allegedly, everyone says, was cheating on her boyfriend with the boyfriend's dad.
Oh, I remember that story. Yeah.
Yes, 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 yes. So apparently, not apparently, it does come out. And we just ran with it. We all 100% just ran with it. Well, there was her, and then there was another alleged co-ed from Texas A&M University who cheated on her boyfriend with the boyfriend's dad. And, like, it was all over social media.
Everywhere.
There was pictures. You name it. You name it. Well, comes out, as I look up her name really quick, it turns out that that was false.
It was a fake story.
It was a fake story.
Who made up the story?
One of her sorority sisters. One of her sorority sisters.
Can you
sisters.
Imagine making up a story about somebody and it goes viral?
Oh, this one, it destroyed the poor girl.
Yeah.
It did. And I bring that up because, A, it was deemed to be false. But everyone, not deemed, it was found out to be false. Everyone ran with it. Everyone just, including us. Me, I'm the one who suggested we talk about it. And for that, for the listening public out there, for the young co-ed from Alabama, even though I'm pretty sure she doesn't listen to our podcast, I apologize. I apologize. Oftentimes, as people, we are quick to judge, especially if they fit a certain stereotype. And she fit, for me.
Because the University of Alabama.
It's the University of Alabama.
Yeah, of course.
Blonde, co-ed, University of Alabama. Everything Lee likes to make fun of being a massive Florida Gator fan. This just fit the box way too perfectly. And I was quick to judge.
So the person that made up the story, can they go to jail? Can they be brought up in charges?
No, they could be civilly liable. There was no actual...
It's not a criminal offense to do that.
Actual no criminal offense. It's not, you know, it doesn't fall under revenge porn. It's not like there was any photos or anything floated around or a sex tape or anything like that. But definitely civilly. I mean, they destroyed this poor girl and the poor guy. Because, you know, everyone was, you know, calling him a cuck and, you know, because as the story goes, she cheated on this guy with the guy's dad and he took her back. And, and that's unfortunate. And so I am taking accountability for spreading that nonsense instead of, you know, hey, you know, as the old song goes, you know, stop. What's that sound?
Everybody look what's going
down. Yeah. And I think we need to do more of that.
Accountability.
Just as people. Yeah. Oftentimes we hear things that we just think, oh yeah, I could totally see that happen. And that totally fits the stereotype of that person. And we just run with it.
And then, yeah.
And we think it's harmless because it's from somebody far away that we do not know. And, you know, karma's a bitch, people.
Yeah, a bitch.
It is. So I am taking accountability. I am apologizing for propagating that rumor. Much as Pat McAfee, I think that might be that and his play-by-play on Raw, Monday Night Raw on for WWE might be the only two decent things he's done this year. Not a Pat McAfee fan.
Did McAfee apologize?
He did. Pat McAfee apologized on air for spreading that. It's false. You know, it came out to be false. It was spread by his, I want to say two of her sorority sisters, and it ruined the poor young lady's life. So,
well, Pat McAfee did a terrible job at baseball.
I mean, he's a shock jock.
Yeah.
He is the ESPN's version of a shock jock, and that's it. Speaking of young women, Lucas, there was a study that recently came out that I shared with you.
Yes. And I agree and back this study up 100%.
Gen Z women prefer dating older men.
Yes, because all of the women that flirt with me or are interested in me are all Gen Z. All of them. All of them. They're more than 40 and 50 year olds.
Last female you went with what out with was?
27.
Two females you're talking to are?
30, 28. Oh my God. 27.
You know, I'm old enough to be their father.
So am I.
Oh my God. I can't. No, I prefer women my age.
Well, I think it all depends on...
Or a little older. Or a little older.
I think
older.
It all depends on everybody's mental and how you are as a person. There are people that I think if you're an older soul and you're 27, you would match well with somebody who's 50.
Nope. And I'm living proof of that. So before we met, from 2012 to 2015... I dated someone who was 13 years younger than me. Yeah, I was 37. She was 24. Yeah. And everyone kept on saying, she's such an old soul. She's such an old soul. She's such an old soul. And guess what she was? She was an old soul. But still, at the end of the day, the maturity difference between the two of us and... I am one who can own up to the fact that I really did not become emotionally mature until much later in life. At that age, I was still probably pretty immature for someone of that age. But even then, the maturity level between us, the life experience between us was just, the gap was way
too
big.
Yeah, it's a big difference.
And that just didn't, at the end of the day, I had to pull the plug on it and tell her. And it's, we're real... Today, we're really good friends.
Well, she's a lot older now.
She hated me for about a year.
She's a lot older now.
We're really good friends now.
She's 13 years younger, so she's in her mid-30s now.
She's in her mid-30s now.
Would you go?
No. Nope. Look, there was, last year, there was this 35-year-old who wanted to get together.
But 35 is not that much younger than you.
It's 14, 15 years younger than me.
Yeah, I mean...
And so, let me get to the point, the moral of the story. She wanted, and this woman was just, she was extremely beautiful. Just like, very beautiful. And she starts chatting me up. We're at an event. We're at the Hispanic Chamber event, the thing they do every year. Starts chatting me up. Oh, I want to get to know you, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, hey, how are you doing? And we actually set a date. You're going to go have dinner. And she sends a text message. Gifts are appreciated on the first date. Yeah, I had something suddenly come up with a client that evening.
Maybe 35 is too old.
For you. 35 is too old for you. No, look, I want to be with a woman who is similar in age, life experience, you know, things that we've lived through. I want a woman who, you know, was able to see MTV when it still had music videos. I think that should be a barometer. If you were able to see MTV when they still had music videos, and we're talking like Duran Duran, Guns N' Roses...
Oh, so you're not even talking about the TRL days.
Not TRL doesn't count. No, we're talking about like Adam Curry.
Oh, so you're
and Kennedy.
They have to be at least 45 or older.
Yeah, your 40s or older. Yeah.
What's the youngest? 40 or 45?
I would say 40 would probably.
Okay,
be
so
the 40 would be the youngest. But yeah, I just, you know, actually the prime spot is maybe just a couple years, 2, 3, 4 years older.
Okay, like 42 to 45.
No. Than me.
Than me.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you're talking like 52,
51, 52. 52, 53, yeah. 51, yeah. Yeah, that's a sweet spot right there.
The good news is they're close to the Ross discount on Tuesday.
You're an asshole sometimes. You know that? You are an asshole. But I don't... So tell, what is the allure of younger women, Lucas?
Fun. There's excitement. You get to share things they haven't done before. You know, you get to take them and show them your experiences, and they're like, it's new to them and they get to see it. They've never done it before. I love stuff like that.
Like getting an AARP card for the first time.
Plus, it is a flex if you can walk into Ross and get that senior discount.
Oh my God. I don't. And obviously, look, it's to each their own. We all have our tastes, our differences or whatnot. But I see someone that age, you know, 27 or not, and like that's the age of like half of the players on my soccer team, for crying out loud. I just couldn't. Yeah. I feel like I would be breaking a USL league rule if I dated someone that young.
I mean, just date softball players instead of soccer players.
Oh my God. Anyways, moving on. Speaking of relationships and relationships that don't work out, I shared something with you today that greatly bothered me. Greatly bothered me, Lucas.
It involves football.
It involves football.
And it has nothing to do with Georgia football.
Has nothing to do with Georgia football, which just as a general rule bothers me, period. Yeah. Their mere existence bothers me. So, Charger tackle Rashawn Slate for the Los Angeles Chargers, owned by
the Spanos.
Spanos family.
Dean Spanos is the acting CEO, president, and everything.
Fuck me.
Can you edit it?
So, the good old Chargers, Rashawn Slate with the Chargers, signed a $144 million contract.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big contract.
That is a large contract.
Are they going to have to foreclose on the complex number on?
Oh, my gosh. So, signed a very large contract.
Yeah.
And Don Kleinman, who fancies himself an NFL guru, reporter, insider, whatever.
He's a know-it-all.
He's a jackass, is what he is. So he tweets out, and I'm gonna pull it up here super duper quick. Here we go. He tweets out, legendary Chargers star tackle Rashawn Slater finalized his divorce from his wife recently. Today, Slater signed a $144 million contract extension with the team, including a $29 million signing bonus. Talk about good timing. Basically inferring that it's good he did it now after the divorce was final, or the ex-wife was going to be a gold digger and come after half of his
In California, money. You get half.
Yes. The wife responded. The wife responded, this is deplorable. I hold nothing but support for Rashawn. His contract is not about me. I think we should focus on what's most important here, and that is his career and his success. Please stop including me in this narrative. He deserves his moment, which, bravo. I know, Lucas, you had a different point of view on her responding.
I always think that whenever you acknowledge a jackass like Kleinman, it gives him power. If you just ignore it, he has zero power, because he did come back at her and he did make a comment saying, this isn't about you. And it was a derogatory.
It was meant to be derogatory.
Yeah, it was derogatory.
That's the way I read it.
Yeah.
It was meant to take a swipe at not that ex-wife specifically, but I just think ex-wives in general.
Yeah, I think it's
women in general.
Yeah,
a swipe. It was a very bitter comment.
And once you acknowledge a bitter, because the only way people like Kleinman get any sort of power, or any troll for that matter, is when you acknowledge them.
Yeah.
If you don't acknowledge them, they go away. And that tweet, had she not acknowledged it, I never would have saw it.
Yeah, but in her defense, she got pissed and she responded.
Yeah,
she felt the need to defend herself. And to me, the worst part was the piling on.
Well, that's what happens. Yeah, that's what happens.
First of all, it was on X.
Because you awaken the trolls.
It was on X, which has now become the Elon Musk fan club. So you can imagine the kind of people that are going to respond. But it did. It awakened the trolls, and they all started taking pot shots at her. And it is unfortunate. It's unfortunate to think that just because somebody wealthy, well-to-do or whatnot, you know, has an ex-wife or ex-spouse, for the example I'm about to use, ex-spouse, that they're automatically going to want to be greedy and take half or whatever. And I use that example because yours truly. Look, when I divorced, when my ex-wife divorced me, she had a considerable amount of Facebook stock, Meta stock, that she accrued during the marriage, during from between when we said I do and
to the last day,
to the very last day. At no point did it ever enter into my mind, I want half of that. Zero. Zero. In fact, when she contacted me the day after she told me she was going to divorce me, sent me this very long email and said, you know, I want to leave with what we came in with. I didn't even question it. I didn't question it. First of all, I saw how hard she worked during COVID, during our marriage in COVID. I saw how hard she worked when she had to work and be my caretaker.
Yeah.
No way in God's green earth with any conscience whatsoever was I going to go after that. And I got a gift way more valuable than a few million in Facebook stock. I lived.
Yeah.
And it's because of that woman that I did.
You know,
and but it's just, there's just this narrative out there that whenever two people divorce and one is doing way better or more well off, I do okay for myself, but more well off than the other, that the other is going to be greedy and go after half of whatever they need. And that is, that's why so many divorces end up being bitter, because once you divorce, people automatically assume, and trust me, I had friends of mine who thought I was crazy for not going after half of the stock.
I will say the reason why the narrative exists is because I would say that at least 40 to 50% of the time, the person does go after the money. At least.
Yes, yes.
So that's why the narrative exists.
But it, I think everyone thinks that happens all the time.
No,
that
it's
people
about,
want
yeah,
to do that all the time.
It's about,
it's not,
40, it's about 40 to 50%.
It's not even close. So,
and actually, just, to be real, with the way the American economy is and the way people live in America, most people don't have anything to give anyway when they get divorced.
But I saw that, and obviously it hit a little close to home. And I just, I didn't like it. I didn't like Kleinman going after
Well, Kleinman's a prick anyway.
And, you know, I know you don't think she should have responded, but kudos. Stand up to bullies.
I think
bullies should be stood up to.
I think that bullies in person should be stood up to. I think bullies on Twitter are frauds, cowards. And I think that whenever somebody sends something negative, like, for example, somebody came after me on my post and Arzu came to my defense.
Yeah.
You know, so I just let people troll me, and then usually somebody will step in and go, well, wait a second, you don't know what you're talking about. And that's the way I like to handle it, just because I've done it that way. And once you start arguing with a fool, there comes a time where you don't know who the fool is.
That's, you know what the, as the saying goes, better to let everyone think you're a fool than open your mouth and
exactly.
Remove
all doubt.
Yeah. So with that, we're going to end up with the people having the worst week ever.
And that would be a baseball team?
A baseball team. Cleveland Guardians, you are indeed having the worst week ever.
They lost a closer.
A closer and a starting pitcher.
For gambling.
For gambling in the middle of a playoff chase.
Unbelievable. So they're gone.
They're gone.
Word is they want Duvall from the Giants, and they're willing to give Steve Kwan.
Well, right now, with those two players suspended, you know, all the Guardians have to give for any player is maybe two coconuts and a bushel of bananas.
I know.
Cleveland Guardians, you go down for having the worst week ever. Hey, everyone. It's been real as always. We'll have to do this from when I'm in Florida.
Yeah, we can do
the video thing.
Yeah.
Video thing.
Yes.
Until next time, everyone.
Peace.
Keep it real.